Well, you know that it's going to be all right. I think it's gonna be all right. Everything will always be all right when we go shopping. Well, you know that it's going to be all right.
It's all good. It's okay. We've got our credit card cash in our wallet, and we are ready to shop till we drop. Good morning. Hello, shoppers, and welcome to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. My name is Johnny Wright. I am your host, and we talk about all things important to us as consumers. Where we buy, what we buy, why we buy it, why it's important for the people who we buy it from to be good to us, so we keep coming back to that particular place where they're employed and their checks depend on the amount of money we drop in that store. It's all kind of this nice, fun circle. That's how it's supposed to work anyway. It is 8:04. I appreciate you tuning in this relatively wet Saturday morning, but soon to be very dry. We'll get to the weather forecast in just a moment. Coming up on the radio program, you're going to hear a conversation with Jeff Delvaux. He is one of the great guys, not only in broadcasting, but just period. He is the general manager of Des Moines Radio Group. And I'm not just saying that because the radio station that you're listening to happens to be managed by Jeff, or as Dell is how we know him around here. He's just a great guy, period. And I've known him for a lot of years. And what we're going to talk about this morning is customer service in the sales industry. And in those industries that are not considered sales, and it's all, I mean, we all sell, we all have an agenda, we all have ulterior, no matter what the relationship is, whether it's with a significant other or name it. It's all about selling ultimately. And I know it makes it seem crass, but in a sense, do you know that one of the definitions, or 27 definitions for sell, and one of them is help. Did you know that? Yeah, that's a surprise to a lot of people working in retail who sort of look at selling as being this, yeah, it's like kissing a frog. Nah, it's a much broader thing than that. And Dell and I will talk a lot about the customer service aspect of selling and how those two play into each other and how that's really changed, and particularly in media. And we'll get to that coming up later on. Also, we're going to break down secret shopping. I have a lot of people asking me, how do you secret shop? How does that work? How do I get involved? And a lot of new people coming into my company called the Biosphere, Biosphere, as secret shoppers. And they find it fascinating. It's an interesting world. And so I'm going to break it down for you a little bit and then tell you how you can become a secret shopper if you have an interest in that. Your weather forecast, no secret here. The rain will taper off. And boy, it was raining. You know, cats, dogs, just everything was coming down. And you know those downpours when you're riding in your car and you're riding along and the rain is hitting the windshield and you're thinking, you know, probably if the car was stopped, this wouldn't be this hard. The rain wouldn't be coming down as fast because I'm, you know, driving along quickly. But today, this morning, just sitting in your car, it was like you're going 100 miles an hour in a rainstorm. It was really coming down. But that has basically ceased and desisted, at least here in central Iowa in the Des Moines area. It will clear from west to east, and then no surprise here, when the clouds open up, Mr. Sunshine comes out, it's going to be hot. 95 for the high end this fine Saturday, and of course we have the Des Moines Arts Festival, and we have the NCAA Track and Field Championship, so that's good news for those folks, except for probably around 1 o'clock, they're going to say, yeah, it's not so good, Johnny. Tonight, thunderstorms redevelop after 1 o'clock, and they don't run events that late, so there's no benefit to that. 71 is the downside, and then Sunday, 30% chance of thunderstorms before 10 a.m. Otherwise, a cloudy day and a little bit cooler, relatively speaking, 86. Monday, sunshine, back to work in 84 right now. We're at 68 degrees, and today's Secret Shopper Review came on Thursday, as it does every Thursday, in the Unsecret Shopper blog, which you can Google search Unsecret Shopper, and it will bring you to it. And the blog has to do with a lot of these things we talk about on this show. And every Thursday, I randomly select a business in the Des Moines area, and I secret shop it, and then present the results in Thursday's blog. And the five pillars of customer service, of great customer service that I speak of frequently on this radio program and in training and everywhere else, are smile, greet, engage, thank, and follow up. I've tried to simplify the customer service process for people who are on the front lines. And so those things are the same things that I look for when I secret shop. They're the same things I train on. And each of those has sort of a subdivision, and each of those has little individual mailboxes, and it's this great big community of shopping. So on a secret shopper visit, I'm looking for these five pillars. This week's, or actually technically, we're still in this week. All right, this week's secret shopping trip was to Von Maur. This is a company that was started back in 1872 in Davenport by J.H.C. Peterson. It was a little 20 by 50 foot, basically a hole in the wall in Davenport, retail setting. Mr. Peterson sold out to the Von Maur family, and therefore it became Von Maur. And interesting how the store has evolved. There are now, well, it depends on the resource you look at. The website for Von Maur, vonmaur.com, V-O-N-M-A-U-R.com, says there are 22 store locations throughout the country, scattered across, I believe, 9 states. There's another part of the website when you go to retail locations, and that's just the front page, the home page. If you go to retail locations on that website, it will tell you there are 25 stores. If you go on the just basically on the web and try to track it down, you get anywhere from 22 to 28. I don't know how many there are. There are a number of them, and they're obviously successful. And the one we have in our own backyard, of course, is at the Valley West Mall, and that's the one that I chose to secret shop. Von Maur is in a category that is called upscale specialty department store. And there are basically three, well, there's more than three, but there's three fundamental categories of retail as far as department stores go. There are discount department stores like Walmart and that other thing where they don't play music inside of it. There are department stores like Sears and JCPenney's. There are specialty department stores like Foot Locker and PetSmart. All right. So we're talking about rarefied air here with upscale specialty department stores. This is getting up. This is Neiman Marcus. This is Marshall Fields, Lord & Taylor, Bloomingdale's, Nordstrom's. This is the category that Von Maur competes in. It's significant because with the economy and the downturn and everything else that has negatively affected all levels of retail, businesses in that category have been especially hard hit. Makes sense. The ticket price is higher in those stores. You know, it's a silk shirt, Tommy Bahama, is $120. Whereas you go into Walmart and you'll get something that appears to be silk that maybe a couple of silkworms may have just stopped on briefly on their way to make something, you know, silkier. And that's going to be like $19.95. So there's a difference. So quality, merchandise, higher quality, higher price, does a higher level of customer service. Is that commensurate with that experience? Should it be? And it's reasonable to say, yeah, it should be. We should get Glenn handled a little more at Von Maur. And we should particularly, when we go into Von Maur, we hear live piano music playing, which we do. That's one of their little trademarks. Every Von Maur has a live pianist performing in the store. In fact, you hear that before you even get in the store. There are speakers outside every entrance to Von Maur at the Valley West Mall. I'm sure the other stores. And so when you go in, you hear this really cool music playing on the piano, and you know it's live, and that just gives it this great vibe. And the stores are designed with this really interesting, homey, classy, kind of expensive feel, the way the displays are set up. And so your expectation as a consumer and customer is that you're going to get a higher level of customer service following what I call the five pillars of customer service. And so as I perused the store two different times on the same day, it was a Monday, once early afternoon, once early evening, later on that same day, what I found consistently at Von Maur was people were very friendly, very engaging. They had a great joy, the employees at Von Maur who engaged me. That's the plus side. The not-so-plussy side is that getting them to that point of being friendly and connective sometimes took a little long. Took longer than it probably should have. For example, I waited in the children's clothing department. And let me back up and say this. Picture, if you will, a middle-aged kind of balding dude wandering around wearing a white long-sleeve dress shirt and I would say a very nice red tie. And gray charcoal dress pants and black shoes wandering around women's clothing. Now, you can just stop with your crazy comments on that comment. I'm saying if you're working in a retail setting and you see a dude walking around dudette clothes, what would be your natural inclination? Oh, wow. I know what your natural inclination. Come on now, stop it. Your inclination would be to say, all right, here's a guy who's probably shopping for someone, maybe has some jack. Let's go wait on this guy. Let's get on this because this is unusual. You don't see men shopping in women's clothing very often, certainly not in the Des Moines area. So this should get a retailer's attention. And I have to say disappointedly that for example, in the little girls' clothing section, my waits were 15 and 17 minutes respectively, whether I was wearing a tie or dress-down clothes. That's too long to be waited on. It needs to be faster than that. In women's sportswear, again, there were waits that were a little on the long side. There were other sections of the store that also where the waits were just too long. Now, in some sections, men's clothing, for example, the formal wear, it was right there. Scott was like right on me on you know what. It was great. And there were other examples of that, too. We're going to talk about open-ended versus closed-ended question. And I talked to Sarah yesterday. Sarah is the general manager of Von Maur. She was kind enough to call me yesterday and say, hey, I read the review, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you for the review. Thank you for the information. We're going to share this with employees. That was really a nice call. Always love to hear from the people at the top. And you're going to be able to read that response from Sarah in Monday's Unsecret Shopper blog. But one of the things we talked most about was open-ended versus closed-ended question. I want to read something to you from Anthony Hernandez. He is a guerrilla marketing speaker and business coach based out of San Francisco. Very smart man. He wrote a piece called The Power of Open-Ended Questions. He says that by using open-ended questions, quote, it signals the customer that you actually want to help them instead of simply exchanging formalities. He also goes on to say that, quote, open-ended questions force your customers to think, which both embeds your business and your products and services in their brains and gets them started down the want, need, afford path to a successful sale, unquote. So we can, and I've had people write me in and say, what is this preoccupation with open-ended versus closed-ended? Come on, man, would you get off it? Garrett Boone. You may recognize that name. He is the co-founder of a very successful retail outlet called The Container Store. Garrett Boone wrote a piece back in February, and I'm going to post it next week, and I think we're going to get Garrett on this show. I've sent out feelers to Garrett, in which he went out and secret shopped stores in Dallas, where he's headquartered out of. He went out and spent 4 hours shopping everywhere and taking notes of open-ended versus closed-ended questions and the other level of service. And he was, in his words, disgusted by the amount of times that people sort of had that automatic knee-jerk response, can I help you? Help you find anything? Can I help you with anything? Need any help? And he explains why, and I'm going to post that next week, but it's just, it's pretty conclusive that open-ended, and let's talk about what open-ended versus closed-ended means. Open-ended is a question that suggests that there is no limit to what the answer from you can be. If I ask you, how was your day today? That's an open-ended question, sort of. A better question is to ask, what kind of day did you have today? And you're going to tell me about it. And, you know, about the 20-minute mark, I may regret having asked. But still, that's the question that you feel you can expound upon. Whereas a closed-ended question is one that demands a yes or no answer. Can I help you? That question is a dead-end street for people in retail and the customers they're serving. And of the 19 employees that I engaged at Von Maur and who engaged me, do you know how many open-ended questions I got out of 19? Three. Wow. Now, Sarah tells me that all employees, when they are first hired by Von Maur, go through a training process at the beginning of their employ. And that in that training process, they are trained and drilled on the power of open-ended versus closed-ended and why open-ended is so important. They're told it and they're trained it and they're told it repeatedly. And as I told Sarah on the phone, you know what? There's telling people and then there's training people, and those are two different places. And so Sarah is, they are revisiting their training program, according to Sarah at Von Maur, about that. Again, once they engaged and once we got back that clunky closed-ended question that was consistently doled out, it was strong. People were smiling. They were engaging. Oh, I had so many. Macy and Scott come to mind. Macy said, well, my name is Macy, and I'm here to help you. And I thought that was so cool because that's classy, you know. And Scott in men's clothing said, my name is Scott. Let me know if you need any help. That's what you wanted, Von Maur, with the piano playing. Yeah, that's good stuff. And lessons can be learned from other retail people working in other retail outlets from my experience at Von Maur. So hats off to those folks. Good job out of them. You can read the entire review if you Google search the Unsecret Shopper Von Maur Secret Shopping Review. It'll be right there for you. It's 8:19 now on the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. We've got currently 68 degrees. Coming up, conversation with a great guy. You won't want to miss this. General Manager of the Des Moines Radio Group, Jeff Del Delvaux, joins us next. You are listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT.
You better take care of business, Mr. Businessman. What's your plan?
Take care of business, Mr. and Mrs. Businessman and Woman, and all the employees that are with you. And that includes, of course, great customer service, as we talk about frequently here at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. It's 8:23, your weather forecast. We're out of the sogginess into the sunshininess. We'll hit 95 today eventually. Right now we're at 68. And joining me this morning is a man that I have known, I believe, since the mid-90s. Long time. We go back in the radio biz. And he goes back even further, not only in radio, but in all media. He is the general manager of the Des Moines Radio Group. He is Jeff Del Delvaux, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, Del.
Good morning, Johnny. How are you?
Well, you're wonderful. And as the great Jim Lobato says, it's a great day to be in sales. Every time, as we know, is sort of the moniker. Del, how did you, what got you into the broadcasting? What was sort of your first step in?
Oh, boy, that's funny. I was actually back in school getting my teaching degree, and my wife, we were living in Austin, Texas, and my wife wanted to move back to Wisconsin, which is where we're from, and I said, well, I'll tell you what, there's a few places that I would consider, you know, because I had been in media for, I'd actually been in the newspaper business for quite a few years, and I had been in sales, so I thought I'd, you know, look into radio or television or newspaper, and and the first place I walked into was a radio station, and I walked out of there with a job and moved back to Wisconsin. So it was pretty serendipitous, I guess would probably be the best word. It was just kind of crazy.
Now, were you, and you started out in sales, did you do on-air work?
No, but I've done a lot of on-air work. I actually was part owner of a small radio station in northern Wisconsin, and I think you know enough about small radio stations that, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. I was cutting tape with a razor blade and putting scotch tape on it. Boy, and Johnny, that was only 1992.
It's hard to believe. It's hard to wrap mind around that.
Yeah. So at that time, you know, being in a small town radio station, the one thing I promised I would never do, though, I never learned how to operate a board, because when you're in a small market, somebody inevitably doesn't show up for work, so they want to call me. And I always said, hey, I can't operate the board.
Yeah, never learn how to do something, because you'll always be asked to do it from that point forward.
Especially in radio. So, but now it's really been a labor of love. I've been doing it I'll be married 25 years in October, and I've been in radio about 24. So, you know, it's been my wife and I's life, and radio's been very good to us.
There is a magic, and it's hard for people who are non-media people or have not been in. There's a magic to all media, and I've worked in all of them, so have you. But radio particularly has a sort of magical allure. Why is that? What is it about radio?
Well, it really goes back to the question you just asked me about how did I really get into it. The other question that you to ask is, not how I got in, but what kept me. Because in your first 6 months, you either get the radio bug or you don't. And what I found is I also, well, having been in print, I was a writer. And what I found about radio, and it is true today, 24 years, I've never had 2 days the same. And it as you know, it was really a lot of fun when I first got in radio because my job clearly was to help small businesses get larger. And the relationship that you get with those clients, I always tell my people, if you ask my salespeople what are they selling, they'll say hopes and dreams. And I always remind them that every small business, the person you're talking to, that business represents their hopes and dreams of everything. It represents their kids' braces. It represents their children's college education. It represents their trips that they're going to take to special places. Everything about that business. So what I loved about it is I was able to help small businesses. I was able to be creative, and I was able to get out and meet people every day. So it's a high-energy job. That if you, and of course you know I'm kind of a whack job when it comes to energy, and I always say I was either blessed with or cursed with too much energy, but it's the only job I've ever found, and I had a lot of different jobs in the 80s that really kept my interest. You know, maybe I got what's ADD or whatever that term is. It's the only job that really has always kept my interest every day.
Do you think that people who succeed on the sales end, and I get asked this or I propose this to people who are on retail lines but don't see themselves as salespeople per se, but do people who succeed in the sales industry, do they have to be greedy? Does money have to drive them in order for them to be successful?
No, quite the opposite. My sales manager, Pam Washington, we really have a pretty simple philosophy, and it comes via Zig Ziglar, which says, help enough people get what they want, you'll get what you want in life. And, you know, that's really the underlying tenement that I have stuck to for a better part of 20 years is you ask people, you know, a lot of questions. You work with them, find out what their opportunities or their pain are, and then you really try to help them overcome that. And if you do, and magical things happen. When magical things happen, you've developed a partnership. Now you can help their business grow. And both of us have done extremely well in this town with small businesses and watching them grow, and that's really the key.
We're talking with Jeff Delvaux. He is the general manager of Des Moines Radio Group at 1350 KRNT at 827. There's listening to you talk, Dale. There's a level of heroism in what you're saying, and that's something that I talk to trainees about, employees on the retail front lines all the time, that you can be a hero, and you may be being a hero to someone who needs to buy whatever it is you happen to be selling. How do you instill that in people, or are they simply born with it?
I'm really glad you asked that question, because I was you and I didn't prep much on this as you know what you were going to come at me with. Let me tell you what the key to customer service is. At least in the world of the Adelism, if you will, it's you got to hire the right people to begin with. Mm-hmm. I use another adage by Mike Ditka, the great tight end and, of course, football coach of the Chicago Bears. And he said, I cannot motivate anybody. I hire motivated people. And it's really what I have tried to do throughout my career as well. Now, you never know what you have in somebody until they work for you. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, everybody interviews well, and you can look on Facebook, and you can do all these things. But I have really been blessed with an ability to see good people and see a uniqueness about them. And if they don't have empathy and they don't care, they will not be successful in sales. And I think that applies in retail. I think that applies in outside sales. And it's hard. It's really hard. But the other thing I would add to that is, though, if I'm talking to Mr. and Mrs. Businessman, I would say, always be interviewing. I know it's hard. I know it's time-consuming. But if you notice, I always have people coming in and out of my office. And it's not because we're looking to get rid of people. It's just I always want to have a bench. And I want to have a bench of people who care. And what we do, as you know, as well, on top of if we don't find the right people, we try to work really hard to find the right people. But the next thing I'd say is, if you're a cancer, we're gonna exercise our right to cut you out of the system. And we've got it down, and you know this with our staff. You've met a lot of them. They will throw you off the island, as we say. If you don't care, and if you aren't trying to advance the cause of really trying to help our customers, and you're just in it for you, you're gonna get thrown off the island. And so those are the two things that we, you know, and if I was talking to some business owner and I was giving a seminar, those are the two things I would work on, which is try to hire right to begin with. Always be our three things, I guess. Always be interviewing, and then when you have a cancer, get rid of it. Don't think about all the ramifications. You just have to remove the cancer, or you're dead in the water.
And that's particularly a tough conversation to have with business owners, as you have and I have with them. On is that one employee can hold their entire company hostage. If you have if that employee has a negative attitude or an agenda that's counter to yours, particularly when you're not around them, they can literally drag a business into the ground. I've seen it happen. You've seen it happen. How do you ring the warning bell for business owners and employees who it's in their best interest to not be working around those kind of people? How do business owners jettison those people? How do they?
Well, like I said before, if you develop the right culture, your staff will jettison them. You know, I have a lot of people, not snitches, but people who always keep me, you know, they'll say, look, I watched this happen, and I don't react. I just wait to see if I see the same kinds of things. Because, you know, people have agendas, too. You know, they come to the boss, they're going to tell them certain things, they think, oh, you know, the boss will get rid of them if I complain. Well, I don't do that either. I take people to their word, but I want to see the action. But it's really about the culture. You're working... Here's first of all, and I'm going to be prejudiced here about Iowa. You know, I'm from. I guess I could be really nice and say I was born in Wisconsin. I'm an Iowan by choice, but I really love Iowa and I love Iowans. I think they're I've lived in 7-8 different states, and there's nobody like Iowans. And they're very, very true. They're very hardworking, and they care. And when you show them that you care, and they see that you care, and you create this culture, they really don't want those people who cause problems. And again, do I still have people on my staff who are challenging? Absolutely. And then you have to weigh that as well, because, you know, we had a guy that was a long time ago that was probably one of our top sales reps, but he was a challenge. And it was, you know, that was a tough decision on, you know, what to do with that person, because it really was disruptive. And you got to say, okay, how do I balance one of your top reps with also being one of your top problems? And, you just work with it. But eventually the sales staff or the culture will eliminate that individual if the rest of them all believe in what you're selling.
Let's talk about, and you've been in media over 30 years. Is that accurate, Dell?
Oh, yeah, over 30.
Somewhere south of that.
Johnny, how old am I?
Well, let's see, you're 30, so you started when you were one, Dell.
Yeah.
The customer service, and that's such a broad term, and it means a lot, but basically there are fundamental things, and I preach all the time about it, means there's really five things that are pillars of it. But talk about what you've seen from customer service over the years, where it's went, why it's went that way, whether it's in the radio industry or whether it's just in business in general, and why has it moved where it has moved, in your opinion?
Well, boy, a loaded question. But I want to take it from a positive spin first, because I do think it has gone downhill. But you know what? I think there's a lot of people out there giving great service. I think it, again, comes down to the individual. There's a lot of places that maybe don't give good service, you know, in the restaurant business or whatever, but it really comes down to that individual experience. I mean, I've been to the same restaurant and had two different servers and had great experience, poor experience. So it's really about it goes back to my original premise, which is you as an employer have to look at who you're hiring and then what culture you're developing, and it really starts at the top. And it's hard, Johnny. I work, you know how hard I work to try to keep a good, positive environment, and even I'm not always positive. I mean, I can get pretty darn cranky, as you know. And but the other thing is, I'm honest, you know, and I guess, you know, and again, not to toot my own horn, but I really pride myself, and I tell people this in interviews, I'm going to be brutally honest with you. And everybody says, oh, I want that, I really want that, until you're brutally honest with them. And they go... And they go, I can't believe you said that. And I said, wait a minute, I told you. And again, I want to say that it's not being brutally honest to ever hurt somebody. It's only to try to help improve somebody's performance. And we are, and I guess another adage that we live by is always find five things you can be 1% better at. Because I don't think anybody can be 100% better next week. I don't think anybody can be, you know, 5-10% better. But you can find five things that you can be 1% better. And I always challenge our entire staff. I say, look, we have 60 people working here. If everybody takes five things and they get 1% better, as an organization, we can grow. So I guess what I'm saying is, where customer service has gone and not gone really depends on the culture of every business. I don't think it's as sweeping as, you know, this business is bad and that business is good, or business in general is really bad. I actually think business in general is pretty darn good.
We're talking with Jeff Delvo, the general manager of Des Moines Radio Group. And all right, now, Del, we have business owners listening to this program, and I want you to give them, this is Del's secret to recruitment. All right, what is the one thing when a business owner and it has an employee or potential candidate sitting in front of them, what's the one question or series of questions, or what's the one dynamic you can look for in a business owner? You tell them, look for this thing, and this will be a really strong barometer as to that particular person's success as an employee on your retail front lines.
You really want to find out who they are. And it's not a particular question. It's a series of, it's just like going in and interviewing somebody for a proposal in sales. And I think a lot of, you said it early in the show, I think a lot of people forget we're all in sales and we're always in sales. Even, and you're an upper level management, I always laugh when I hire a new sales manager and they expect the sales staff to respect them. And I go, you don't get their respect. You got to earn their respect. And I said, you're not going to get it by sitting in your office and acting like you're high and mighty. You have to understand that you serve those people. And so what you're looking for is people who want to serve other people just as much as you want to serve them. And, I mean, we just hired a young woman from Dubuque. And she worked in radio for 3 years and never got paid, which I think is an abomination.
Wow.
But that's another story.
Wow. Was she on she must have been on the air, Del.
She made less than you, Johnny. I didn't know if that was possible.
Is that possible? That's right.
But you know what? Anybody who's worked for 3 years, she has a certain passion to her that I couldn't pass up. And it turns out she's a phenomenal employee. But you could tell she was going to be. She just had that spirit. She gushed with it. She smiled. I'm going to give you the secret. And I'm going to even tell you that I haven't always followed this, because it's shameful, but people don't follow up. And if you don't follow up with me, especially if you want a sales job, I mean, send me a card, call me, do something, you almost never are going to get hired unless I'm really in a pinch. And then I kind of go back, and then I bring those people in, and I say, you know what, I'm going to tell you something right here. You didn't follow up with me. Mm-hmm. I really shouldn't hire you. I mean, give me a reason to hire you, because if you don't follow up with me, how do I know you're going to follow up with clients?
Right, right.
And I think that's what you're, Johnny, if I could say one thing is that person really trying to get the job, and if they're not, man, how do you expect them to sell your product?
Well, there are people who are listening this morning or know of people that they know, and they're saying, wow, you know what, I want to go work for Del. I want to go work for the best radio group in town. I want to work for a great...
A lot of people say, I don't want to work for it either.
And there's current employees who are saying, man, I got to get my resume updated. That's right. But they want to know, all right, how do I get plugged into that? I'm in a job right now that is not fulfilling, where I don't feel I'm as successful as I can be. I want to sell. I want to help other business owners do a better job of their business. I need to get a hold of this Del. I want to get my stuff in front of him. I want to get in front of him. What would be their step?
Really, it's as simple as calling me or emailing me, 280-1350. Again, I never stop looking. I wanted to go back to that, unless, I don't know, are we wrapping up here or?
Yes, just a little bit, but yes, please.
Well, I wanted to go back to everywhere I go, I'm always looking for salespeople. And I'll tell you, some of the best salespeople I hired in the 90s were waitresses and waiters. And because those people understand customer service, because guess what? They're getting paid on customer service.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had great luck with people in the restaurant business. And what I do is, a lot of times I'll just say, hey, you know, you really did a great job, and here's my card, and, you know, and if you ever think about changing careers, here you go. And Pam and I have both done that over the years. When I find a great salesperson or somebody that I think has done a pretty good job or given a good customer service, I don't try to steal them from the clients or steal them from a business or anything like that, but I give them my card and just say, hey, you know, circumstances change. You're probably happy, but if, you know, and it's amazing. We had somebody call us 4 years later after Pam had given him a card and said, you know what, I got a new boss. I don't like the company anymore, and give us a call. And we ended up hiring that person. So be really, it's just a matter of I will talk to almost everybody who calls me, because you never know who's going to ring your phone. Even when they call or send a resume, I usually do a 10-minute. I like to look them in the eye. I like to look people in the eye. I like to see. I always say I can look you in the eye and see your soul, and I do feel that way sometimes. People are pretty not transparent, but there aren't a lot of different people out there. And again, Iowans, I think in particular, are pretty darn decent people. And it's actually harder to find the bad ones than it is to find, you know, the good ones. So.
Well, Del, you are one of the great ones, and it has been my pleasure to know you for many, many years now. And blaze a new trail at Des Moines Radio Group. It's exciting to work at a radio station.
I've tried, Johnny, to keep you out of my life, but it just doesn't work.
The bad penny.
You are there, man. You are awesome. And what you're doing, I think, is great, because you're out there trying to help. You're trying to help small businesses grow and get better. And sometimes it's hard, you know, because you gotta tell them the truth. And like I said earlier, I don't know if everybody always wants the truth. What? And in the line of a few good men. Can people handle the truth?
Right, absolutely. Well, you've served up a helping dish of it this morning, Jeff Delvo. We appreciate taking the time out this morning, and you've given a lot of insight, and I greatly appreciate it, Del, as always. Thank you, and have a great weekend.
You too. Take care.
Thank you. It is 8:43 now at the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT. When we come back, we're going to break down the art and the science of secret shopping and tell you about how it all works if you've ever had an interest in being a secret shopper. That is next right here on the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT. And Jeff Delvo is one of the few business owners in his age group who could let his hair down, because he's got it. He's still got his hair. How can a general manager still have his hair? He does, and quite nice looking. You're listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show at 1350 KRNT. And listen, don't be mistaken. Anybody who's in radio is thankful that it's not television, all right, for just really obvious reasons to them. 8:45 now with Johnny, 68 degrees, light rain ending, sunshine coming in to dominate the day and the weekend, really, as we have the Des Moines Arts Festival going on not far from where my head roars. Also, the U.S. Track and field championships. Very exciting stuff happening in Des Moines. And I understand they just got the NCAA wrestling tournament for 2013, so good job out of Des Moines. Good job out of those who secret shop for the Biosphere, my company. And all that information is online, as you know. Well, listen, what isn't? If you haven't Googled your own name, and most people have, go Google your own name. You're going to find probably a lot of really, really interesting things, and maybe some things that you never really thought were that interesting, or maybe you don't want them to be interesting to other people. But Google your name and you'll find a lot of cool stuff on the net about you or people with your name, and the Unsecret Shopper is no exception to that, and that's where you can find a lot of this information. There's training and the Secret Shopper reviews, and coming up before the end of the show, I promise I'm going to highlight two fantastic customer service stories from my trip through Von Maur at the Valley West Mall last week. We'll get to that. But as a secret shopper, as secret shopping goes, and as the Biosphere, as my company does it, it is broken down into left brain and right brain components, the way our secret shoppers shop. And what is left brain versus right brain? We've talked about it quite a bit on the show and in the blog. But the left brain, the left part of our brain, is what dictates the analytical process-driven part of us. It is the part that makes a cake. That's kind of making me hungry, but or makes breakfast or makes something. It is the constructive. It's also the automatic, how we drive. So that's why if a police officer pulls you over and you say, listen, take out my left brain, my right brain has nothing to do with it, and then send it to the address of where your left brain lives and let them deal with that or her. So the left brain is process analytical, right brain, emotional, creative, passion, love, hate, euphoria, wretchedness, all that good stuff that we read in the romance novels and are on Lifetime Channel. That's where all that goop lives, in that right brain part of our brain. And the secret shopping that my secret shoppers do for the biosphere and my clients is a combination of that. And first, let me talk about how a lot of secret shopping companies do it, national secret shopping companies. Typically, it is done through paper and scoring. In other words, a company will hire a national secret shopping company to come in and secret shop their company, and they'll say, all right, here's some things you're going to look for when you come in. Is this clean? Is this clean? Is this done? Is this done? And then how well were they done? Rate it, score it. That's a typical, if you look at a sheet that secret shoppers on the national level look at, it's rate this, this whole series of things. Did the person greet? Was the store clean? All these elements. There's yes or no answers, and then there's scores given to all of those particular components. And then at the end of it, you tally up the scores, and sometimes it's an average, sometimes it's a total, and then that's sent into this big equation thing, and then the company spits out this, well, this store rated this way because of this employee. And that rating then goes on to determine a lot about what that company needs to do from a training standpoint, what the particular issues of that employee may be. And so that's how secret shopping is set up. Well, there's some problems with that. One of the most glaring of which is something that we talked about at the very beginning of the show, and that's the open-ended versus closed-ended questions. Closed-ended question being a yes or no response. In other words, if I ask you the question, did you have a nice time? And your answer is yes. What does that really tell me about the time that you had? It doesn't really tell me much. However, I might define nice, and however you might define nice, which may be completely different definitions. And so I'm boxing you in, and this is the problem with secret shoppers who are part of national companies, is that they are boxed into responses. Yes or no, did this happen? Did this happen? Did this occur? And then how did you, and then score it on a scale of 1 to 5, which is a typical scoring mechanism, which I don't think is nearly broad enough. And so what you get is a very limited amount of information upon which huge decisions are made by companies as far as personnel, as far as how that particular store is doing. And make no mistake, how companies score is at the end of the day when they ring the till out and they send the money into corporate, that's how they keep score. It's how most of us keep score on some level, one of the scores we keep. Secret shopping with the biosphere is different. First of all, when a secret shopper for the biosphere secret shops a company, they come back and I immediately will record their responses to our conversation with an audio recorder. They know it's there, it's right in front of them. Why is that? Because with our secret shopper program, there's a combination of secret shopper results and training ability. In other words, not only do I want to be able to tell the company where they're at from a customer service aspect, I also want that information to be used then from a training aspect, whether I'm the one training, whether one of my trainers is training, or whether they use it on their own for training purposes. So that by itself sets the biosphere apart from most secret shopping companies. Yin and yang. I'm going to point out the problem, and then we're going to solve it for you. We're going to help you solve it, okay? That's one of the elements. And so audio is what we found to be the most powerful teaching element. There are also written summaries, which are sent into typically management and corporate. Those audio reports, those recordings, that narrative is also sent in and then is used, played back typically, for that employee as part of their training. All right? And we found that audio works better than video. In other words, we could sit a secret shopper down in front of a camera and record their responses that way. But typically the problem with video is that people feel too exposed and they're too self-conscious. And do I look all right? And they're licking their eyebrows to make sure all the hairs are in the right row and lined up and everything. And so audio is sort of the best of both worlds of written and video and visual. So the first question is, tell me about what happened. And so the secret shopper will say, well, I went in the door and I stepped through and it smelled like mold. And I went up to the counter person. They were covered in tattoos and they said, yeah, what do you want? You know, or I went in and it smelled like fresh roses, and I went up to the counter where the counter person pleasantly greeted me by, "Hello, my name is Jonathan. Your name is? Welcome to our fine establishment. How in the world can we possibly be of service to you?" So that, and then shake the hand and the whole thing. Kiss the cheek. So there's the narrative. This happened, this happened, this happened. I walked out, done. Okay? After the narrative is presented, then the next question is, all right, we're going to break it down into left brain pillars, the five pillars of customer service. Did the person at the counter smile at you? Did the person at the counter greet you? How did the person greet you? Opened or closed-ended question. Engage, smile, greet, engage. The engagement level. Did the person ask you about what your needs were? Did they try to find, did they ask the extra question which we train on? Did they try to get deeper into not only your issue, what you were looking for, but you as a human being? In other words, did they try to develop rapport with you, a relationship with you on some level? Did they try to knock down those walls, that awkwardness that we have with anyone who we don't know, and try to get closer to you and maybe even become a friend? That's the optimum. That's what we're really looking for, the engagement level. Did they thank you at the end? Smile, greet, engage, thank at the end. Did they shake your hand? And did they get your name at the beginning of the transaction? And did they use it throughout, especially at the end when they shook your hand? Did they get follow-up information? Smile, greet, engage, thank, follow-up. In other words, did they get information, your email address, phone number, in which to send you a thank you? Which to send you if there's marketing elements going on, if there's sales going on. Do they get an address so they can send that to you? And I hear employees say, I can't do that. They won't give me an email address. They think I'm being obtrusive. They think I'm just bugging them. They hate me. Well, sure, they think that. If you didn't befriend them at the beginning and just jumped in, I mean, if you say, hi, welcome to Johnny's grocery store. Can I get your email address? That is not going to work. You're putting the car before the horse. It's a date. We talk about relationships in retail as a retail date. You don't jump in there and say, hey, Kino, can we go make out in the corner? That's not what you do. Well, I mean, some people do that, but yeah, that's not a success. It's not the dealio, though. The develop rapport, develop a relationship with them. And then at the end, when you ask them, say, listen, you know what? I want to send you some stuff. We have specials a lot of the times. I'm not going to barrage your email box with junk. But I want to be able to send you, first of all, just a thank you, and then maybe once a month a heads up on something special we've got going on that I think you can benefit from. Most people are going to say, oh, you know what? Yeah, here's my email address. Here's a phone number, whatever. So you get that contact information. So you've created this bond with them in the short little window of time with the five pillars of great customer service. Then there's the right brain part of this. There's the scoring of... ask the secret shopper, how was your overall experience? Rate it 1 to 10, not 1 to 5, but a more expansive 1 to 10. And then tell me why. Therein lies the emotional question. It's not just a number, a score. It's a part of, again, an on-running narrative. Why did you rate it a 5? Why was it a 7? What made it a 7? What could have made it better? And therein lies the last two questions, well, next to last. What's one thing that the person who waited on you can do a better job of? And what's one thing they did a really good job of? Those two questions are asked of the secret shopper. And then the final two questions, which are the key questions, these are the questions that will tell a business whether or not they're A, going to survive, and B, going to thrive. And that is, secret shopper, will you go back, would you go back as a customer? And B, would you tell a friend about your experience? And what would you tell them? Those two questions are the determinant questions for all retail as to their success. More than any other question you can ever ask a consumer. That breaks down the world of the secret shopper. If you think you got what it takes to be a secret shopper, I'm just going to have you call me. Cell phone number, 480-4190. I'd love to hear from you if you got what it takes to be one, 480-4190. Make the call. Let's have a chat. It's 8:55. We'll be right back with a few closing thoughts. You're listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. 8:55 now, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, 1350 KRNT. Sunshine, make you smile today. We will see plenty of it and plenty of heat
heat indices nearing 100. And I don't know what that means. It sounds dangerous to me. So be careful out there if you're at the Des Moines Art Festival or at the Des Moines Track and or the U.S. Track and Field Championships. A couple of great stories to acknowledge during my secret shopper trip to Von Maur. You talk about smiling people. Christine was the gem of the secret shopper trip through Von Maur at the Valley West Mall, which you can read about at the Unsecret Shopper blog. Christine is Greek. Her husband and she moved from Athens 42 years ago. When she saw me, she lit up. She was just like a pinball machine or a Vegas slot machine. And she had that wonderful, she sounded like a Euro Tastes. That's the only way I could describe Christine. Just, what can I help you with today? As if that sounds Greek. And this shirt is beautiful and would look even more beautiful on you. I sound like Triumph the Insult Comic Dog, but I'll go with it. Take your time, look around, browse. I'm here to help you. Just very expansive and beautiful and engaging. And I don't know if that's how everybody in Greece is. I mean, Anthony Quinn, I saw him in Zorba the Greek. The guy's Mexican. Come on. I don't know. But she was engaging and she didn't. And she was kind of loud. But it wasn't loud. It was beautiful is what it was. It was art. And it's exactly what all of us have inside of us. If we just let it come out and smile and share it with the world, and the more we share it, the more it's going to be shared back, and the more we'll feel like doing it. It's this circle. It's the figure eight on its side. It's infinity. It is love at its strongest part. It truly is. Christine clearly loves life and loves people. And then the second wonderful experience, what happened in the gift section. Now, Christine worked in the men's clothing, and in the gift section, it was Lena. She's Russian, and this is going to sound a lot like that Greek accent I just tried. She says, I will be with you in a moment if you like. Because she's waiting on somebody else, but she didn't forget about me, right? Yeah, and then she says, what can I help you with? And she was very, let me show you. I show you this. This will work for you. And just a thick accent, and she just had come from Russia, and she'd been in, I think, here 15 years or so, and just tremendous and engaging. And she didn't hold back, and there was no wall with her. You know, there's a lot of times from a customer service aspect, people pull back, and they don't seem completely dialed in, and it makes us feel sort of uncomfortable ourselves. And with Christine and with Lena, there wasn't that wall. They were just authentic and in the moment, and there was a great passion with them. And Von Maur is so lucky to have those two women working for them. And by the way, Lena told me something very, very interesting. Lena, and I'm probably not saying it right, removed the A from her name when she moved to the States because she said, nobody here knows how to pronounce it. Nobody here knows how to say Lena. So now it's just Lena, like Lena Horne. Lena Horne has ever been within 100 feet of Russia. So that's just a very interesting thing. So I said, listen, Lena, when I'm mentioning you, I'm going to call you Lena. I'm going to go with the name that God give you or your parents give you. And just very, very passionate. And so if you work in the retail front lines, if you're out there, whether you're scooping hash or selling silk shirts or whatever it is, do so with passion and love. Do so feeling in the role of a hero because you are a hero to people and unsung heroic stories that you'll never hear about, but you can impact people on that level. It's possible. It's likely, but it's unlikely unless you do it, unless you make a choice. Say, you know what, I'm going to just be happy and engage and make people's day as good as I can make it.